a monstrosity of a machine.
Stop.
No? I mean, this must be like from 50 years ago.
This machine is brand new.
Brand new. Don't they make new, little teeny...
This is high quality, maybe, for the website.
Okay.
Only the best for the website.
Only the best for the website. Okay, can we start? We're here. Okay, so we'll start. I want to start with a little story, and then we'll get to the Musar Vat. The little story is that my first shmooze when I came to yeshiva, a little while ago, I am a little older. So my first shmooze, it was in the middle of Adol. I came a little late to this man, whatever reason, but that's not for now. So it was in the middle of Adol, and the yeshiva was saying a shmooze. I was so excited because, you know, I heard about the yeshiva, he's going to say a shmooze. First time I'm going to hear a gadol say a shmooze. And it's during Adol, and I was sure he's going to speak about inspiring me to do tshuva for Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it was a week before Rosh Hashanah. I don't remember. It was right before Rosh Hashanah. So the yeshiva basically gave a shmooze. I do not remember what the chazah was, but I know what the message was. The message was, calm down. Don't get so excited about Rosh Hashanah. Relax. I was so angry. Yeah. I want to hear a shmooze to get motivated. Do tshuva. You know, this is your last chance, you know. That's what I wanted to hear. Instead, I hear the shmooze, relax, you know, take it easy, don't get too uptight. I don't know, I don't remember exactly, but I remember walking out like, what is this, crazy yeshiva I'm in, right? That was my introduction to the Beis Medrash. So, after 50 years or so I want to explain what the yeshiva was thinking. And then I want to go a little bit in his approach. What was Rashiva thinking? Is Rashiva had a hashkafa, is that, I don't want to say the biggest problem, but one of the biggest problems, and maybe the biggest problem that he felt that Bochrim have in him, is, you know, like every door has its own different nisayin. So if I ask you, what's the biggest nisayin facing a Bochur today in yeshiva, or for sure one of the biggest. So yeshiva held that one of the biggest nisyonos is an absence of happiness, and if anything, a netiyah toward lack of happiness. I don't want to use the word depression. Depression maybe is a little bit too strong. But you know, Rabbi Shaver wrote a book, what was it called? Stop surviving, right? How's things going? I made it through the day. Right? That's not very happy. You know, every day, okay, 11:50, Baruch Hashem, we made it through the day. Oh, today's Friday. Made it through the week. All right. We made another week. We survived. Right? You know, there's a lack of happiness. And when you're not happy, so happiness is an essential ingredient for success. Happiness is what, we said this many times, the brain works many, many, many times better because you're happy. Probably 10 times better when you're happy. When the person is energized, person needs less sleep when he's happy. Because, you'll be a better sports player when you're happy. And the more lack of happiness you have, the worse you function. And the guy who's depressed can't even get out of bed, right? That's right, depression. A guy who's mamish depressed. I remember we had a guy in the yeshiva, came Shabbos tshuva. I couldn't get him out, Shabbos zocher, and I couldn't get him out of bed to hear Parsha zocher. Well, that's real depression. You know, guy couldn't get out of bed. He wasn't sick, he just couldn't get out of bed. Okay, so that's unusual. But it's the degrees, it's a spectrum. So the yeshiva held, I'm pretty sure, that one of the biggest problems in America, or maybe in Israel, or in the world today, is that guys are not really happy. They're just sluggish. They're just going, and when you're not happy, so you don't function well. That was a very fascinating thing, is that he held that this is a new problem. Now, there's most problems we think are like for the Dere Deres, you know, in the human makeup of the DNA of being human being. But he felt, remembering what Europe was like, that this is a problem which is something because of the modern day society. So he used to quote that Rav Elia Svei with Rav Shiva of Philadelphia told him that he asked Rav Chaskel this question, because apparently he was also from Europe, and he also noticed this phenomenon that Americans today are just not as happy as people from Europe, noticeably. It's a plea, because if anything, we're so much better off, right? We have, in Europe, they managed to have food. They were starving. They didn't have clothes. They didn't have shoes. You know, people had to go to work. They had to work 12, 14-hour days, you know, whatever it is. Today, we have it so much easier. So you would think that American society would be much happier. And yet, in reality, they both, Rav Shiva was Mayan, and Rav Chaskel was Mayan, Rav Elia Svei was Mayan, that Americans, and or maybe Israel too, but the people today are much less happy. So they apparently asked Rav Chaskel, who was a big mumchet, why people aren't happy. So he gave two reasons. I suspect one reason is for Baal Batim, and one's for Bnei Yeshiva. So the one reason he gave, which I don't think applies so much to Bnei Yeshiva, might apply to Baal Batim, is because America is a land of opportunity. Europe was not an opportunity. Europe was a serf society, meaning that you were locked in. If your father was a blacksmith, you can assume you'll be a blacksmith. If your father was a tailor, you'll probably be a tailor. If your father was a shoemaker, you'll be a shoemaker. If your father was a doctor, you'll be a doctor. If your father was a lawyer, you'll be a lawyer. You were whatever your father was, that's what you were going to be. People were locked in. Locked in. Did not have opportunities for change. If you're a farmer, you'll be a farmer. If your father was a big farmer, then you'll have a huge farm. If your father had a little farm, you had a small farm, right? Whatever your father had, if you were rich, your father's rich, you'll be rich. Your father's poor, you'll be poor. So people did not have expectations. They knew pretty much what life was going to be. But America is a land of opportunity. You give me, you know, everyone knows you've been the American dream, right? You come poor, penniless, come to America penniless, and you work hard, and then you make the American dream. And that's what you tell everyone, and many people believe it. And they come to America, and they say, okay, so what do I have to do? Well, first you have to go, you know, 16 years at least of schooling, right? Elementary school, high school, college, you get your doctorate, and then you got to, and then et cetera, et cetera. And then when the guy is 40 years old and he says, okay, like, where is it? And it never came, because most people never make the American dream. Either because most people don't become rich, and those people that become rich are still not happy. So the disappointment, as we said, there's a tremendous disappointment in America, which you didn't have in Europe. In Europe, you knew when you were born, oh, you're going to be, I'll be whatever my father was. So there's no room for disappointments. You knew what it was going to be. You looked at your father, I'll be the same. Okay. So it's like a person who's blind, but he thinks he's going to, you know, he's going to have an operation, and it's a very painful operation, but after the operation, he'll be able to see. And he has to go through the painful operation, and then they take off the Band-Aids, and he still can't see. So it's tremendous disappointment. Okay. So that's for Baal Bus, who worked so hard in his life. And then at the end of his life, it never materialized. For most people, it doesn't materialize. But that doesn't help for yeshiva guys, I don't think. So he said a second svara is that because America is not only the land of opportunity, but the land of preachers. When we say Europe, we're referring to, by the way, Eastern Europe. Western Europe was maybe like America too, I don't know. But they were in Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe was a relatively Sanuadika country. You know, that was even the Goyim word Sanua to a certain extent. Right? But that's part of being not modern, whatever. But America, there's tremendous preaches. And preaches leads to Taivis, Hirhurim, Averis, and Averis lead to, especially these type of errors, lead to a certain amount of lack of happiness because you don't feel good about yourself. Here, I'm a hypocrite. I'm learning in yeshiva, and I'm trying to become a tzaddik. And then what do? I think about the most disgusting things, and I do the most disgusting things, and whatever, and I'm a lowlife, whatever, right? So you feel like a total hypocrite, and that makes a guy unhappy. Europe, that wasn't as big as an Isayan. Europe, the people that were not as priestistic. So the Western society wasn't as partisan. Obviously, there's a certain natural taiva for everything, which you have, that just because a person's a human being, but the degree of preetzes obviously makes a difference when there's so much more opportunities and so many more suggestions, and you see the newspaper articles that make suggestions and put ideas in your head, and TV shows and books and news articles, and you hear about this and that, so it makes it much, much harder. So getting back to the Reshiva, so Reshiva held, I believe, that guys, especially you single bachrim, especially, but once you're married, maybe it's not as big of a problem. But single bachrim, growing up in this society, are very often nichsho in certain averis. Now, which one exactly? Everyone's a little different. But there's something in the family of taiva. Could be, a lot of different possibilities. And then they feel hypocritical, and they feel get very down. And I think the Rishiva really felt that for Bachrim, this is like the major problem. I think he felt more people drop out of yeshiva. I think I heard that from my shape, that more people drop out of yeshiva for this reason than for any other reason. In other words, he said that guys that come to Israel for 1 year, and after a year they leave, that's not dropping out. China, they never planned to come for more than a year. Okay? They wanted the 1 year out of high school, they're going to learn. But guys who stay after a year of high school and then they drop out, says it's almost always because they feel hypocritical, because they're being nichsho and averis, and that's what causes people to leave yeshiva. But it's shorter, even people in yeshiva makes people not happy. And if you're not happy, then you can't learn. You can't learn, so then you really drop out because I'm not doing well. So the Reshiva, this was like the biggest problem. I don't know if the biggest, but one of the biggest problems. So before Rosh Hashanah, he used to talk. That isn't, okay, obviously you have to do tshuva, but okay, take it easy. Okay. So what I want to do, since that was the introduction, is I want to try and explain how you can take it easy, at least on this particular Avera. We're not saying that you shouldn't do tshuva on this Avera. That would be ridiculous. But we're trying to say why a person should take it easy. So there are five reasons. Why do I have five reasons? Because I thought of five reasons. But it's good because experience has shown that a reason, not everybody likes every reason. So a reason that resonates with me doesn't necessarily resonate with you. So that's not a good thing. You should know that. A very, very big mumcha, and this has nothing to do with anything, I'm just a yanta, you know. A very big mumcha in dealing with people, a rebbe, told me that if someone asks you a question, just because you think you know the answer doesn't mean it's a good answer, because that might be a good answer for you, but not for him. So you have to have more than one answer prepared for any good question. And what you have to do is when you look, you have to look at the person's face and watch very carefully his body language. And when you start, now the person will usually be polite and he won't tell you that I don't like your answer. But you can, if you watch his body language, you might see a flicker of disappointment. And you have to watch for it. And then if you see that flicker of disappointment, you know that that's not a good answer. And then you quickly switch to answer number two. And if you see another flicker of disappointment, you flick to answer three. Okay. So I got five answers. So hopefully some help for somebody, five answers. Okay. The first and most simplest answer is that even if a person has averis, but we also have mitzvahs. So we have to realize that there's Rosh Hashanah is like a scale, right? Everyone knows this. picture, scale, you know. So the mitzvahs and averus. So yes, okay, we're doing averus, terrible averus, but we're also doing mitzvahs. Talmud Torah connected kudam. Every word of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. So we do a tremendous volume of mitzvahs. We do many, 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 many more mitzvahs than we do averus. Even the worst of us. We're doing many, many more. And the Sfarim say that the schar of one mitzvah is worth, if you had a graph, that's what I was trying to explain. If you had a graph, you put a zero and then there's negative and positive. The positive schar that you get for one mitzvah is much greater than the negative onus you get for an avera. So in your graph, let's say a guy does one mitzvah and one avera. So if for one avera, he'll get negative 50. For the one mitzvah, he'll get plus 5 million, right? So the schar of a mitzvah is many, 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 many times greater than the punishment for an avera. There's a famous line from Rav Simcha Zisso, the Alter Kaum, that says that it's worth it for a person to be born and spend an entire lifetime of doing averus, which will mean that he'll have to get punished for all those averus if one time in his life he said Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Because the schar for a one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, it's worth it, just like it's worth it to suffer a lot of pain to get a big reward. So it's worth it to suffer all those punishments for all those averus, because if you wouldn't have been created, you wouldn't have gotten that one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So it's worth it that you got created. You did all your averus. Ah, you got your one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. And he said, and 100 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemos equal one Amen. And one Amen, 100 Amens equal, I think he said, one Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, I think that's what he said. So, you know, so like a Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is comparatively small mitzvah. So one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, the schar, it's worth it. So I say, you guys down. Oh, yeah, I do so many averus. Okay. But you win some and you lose some. You got to look at the full picture. You got so many averus, but you got so much schar. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two, we'll see if we can do five. Answer number two is a famous stipler. There's a famous stipler that says that he talks about this point, about people getting down. And he says what people forget is they focus on the avera of when you're nichsho. But almost most people, they're not nichsho all the time. Many times they're successful in not being nichsho. Every time you have a nisayin and you're not nichsho, you get tremendous schar. Because yashav over avera is nisayin oskar kais mitzvah. So the stiper's lashon is that every time you're not nichsho, you get schar like yosef hatzadik. That's a Cyprus lashon, very strong lashon. So you're passing the nisayin of yosef hatzadik. Now you have hundreds and thousands of nisayinus of yosef hatzadik. Okay, so hundreds of times you pass, and sometimes you fail. So in not looking at other mitzvahs, my first shot was, you look at all the Talmud Torah and davening. He says, even in this area, you have tremendous mitzvahs in this area. Because now you don't always flunk. Once in a while you flunk. Okay, but what about all the times you pass? Okay, that was answer number two. Answer number three is a famous Rav Yisrael that says that a mitzvah and avera is in direct proportion to the chomer of the nisayin. As the nisayin gets greater, we're talking about an avera, the avera goes down. If the nisayin is less, it's a bigger avera. If a guy holds a gun to your head and says, do avodah zara, you're really supposed to be arev yavur, and you do it. So even though you are doing wrong, but in a certain sense, you're going to go scot-free, but it's understandable, you know, you guy had a gun to your head, right? But if a guy goes ahead and stands not with a gun to your head, he just says, offers you a lollipop and says, do avodah zarah. So It's a much bigger Aveira. So as the Nisayan gets greater, the Chomer of the Aveira goes down. So the both times when people are Nichshol, they have a hard Nisayan, because this is a very hard Nisayan. Furthermore, the Rishiva said, used to say this very strongly, that there are very few people who are Nichshol because they want to be Nichshol. If you would go ahead and come up with an invention, a pill, that would stop people from being Nichshol, whatever Aveira they're being Nichshol in, most yeshiva guys would grab the pill. So that means that they're not being Nichshol Beratzen. They're being Nichshol because they can't control themselves. So it's a shtickle in the realm of Einus. It applies in halacha even. There's a concept in Shulchan Aruch. Those people know Shulchan Aruch that that you're supposed to get married at 18. In case you didn't know, but there's a heter of delaying it because you're learning. But the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to delay it for learning if Yisroel Misgabrelov. So everyone asks for Shiva, I'm Yisroel Misgabrelov, and I'm not the Nichshon Averis. So she said it's only qualifies Yitzchak Miskabadov if you're doing it Biratzen, Bisimcha. You're happy. Baruch Hashem, oh, these Averas are so much fun. But a guy who's doing the Avera because his Yetzahara pushes him, that's not the gather of Yitzchak Miskabadov. Okay, Rashi had some riots, whatever, it's not for now. But he's saying it's a whole different Avera. That's why the Rashiva held very, very strongly that all these books on the topic of this topic, whatever topic of Hurim Rahim, Zeravatoa, there are many books about it. Hatarbu the Aveira. There's some Zohars. He said they should take all those books and put them in Seamus. Don't take them out because they have nothing to do with a typical yeshiva guy. Because all those books are referring to a person who does this Aveira, Biratzen. The Aveira, but this is a whole different situation. So it's a different Aveira. Not to say it's not an Aveira, but it's a different Aveira. That's not the same Aveira. When the Zohar says whatever it says, or that it's talking about a person who is hini, muchen, and mezumen, mekayim, the enjoyment of doing this thing, of winning a mighty Zaravatar, let's say this is how it talks about. But a person who is because he wishes he wouldn't do it, but he loses control. She would say it's a whole different Aveira and has no Shaykhis. It's not in the same situation. Every single thing it says in the Zohar doesn't apply. Okay, it's not the right thing to do. But no, she was very held that all those farms should not be read. There was a sefer someone wrote in Eretz Yisrael on this topic. And I thought it was a very, very nice sefer because he had all kinds of suggestions. And I asked him, so I sent it to Rabbi Trapper. I said, hey, should I give it to the Bachrim? He said, no, because he also quoted those of the Zohar, whatever. He said, yeah, the pastor, the whole Sefer. He quoted the Zohar, whatever he quoted. She was very insistent that any Sefer that quotes Chazal, that speaks about the Chomer Aveira, it should not be read because it's not applicable. So that's also take away. In other words, Tata said it's not an Aveira, but it's not it's not like you're not like you're doing Avodah Zarah, Gidirayas, and Shvichas Damim. Okay? Usually guys don't get so depressed if they spoke Lashon Hara one time. It slipped. Okay? It's also an Aveira. That could be a worse Aveira. Don't judge Aveiras. But you don't get so down, right? By accident, I slipped, I said Lashon Hara. It's an Aveira, okay? Accidentally, I slipped, I said Lashon Hara. You shouldn't do that. But you're not going to get depressed. So the same idea. Okay, so that's number three. And I'm trying to forget. I forgot where I'm up to. Okay, so three is... Okay, four is... There's such a thing as tshuva. Now, this is very, very important. And I really was going to give a whole group on this one, but then I decided not to. Usually this is what I talk about before Elo. In order to do tshuva properly, what do you need? How do you do tshuva? You need three things. What? Harot ha'over, kabo ha'oser, and vidui. So, the guy feels, okay, very nice, but I don't do that. I'll bring you a raya, because I did an aveira yesterday, and a week later I do the same aveira again. Obviously, you know, who am I fooling? What kind of kabo ha'oser, you know? If I really had a kabo ha'oser, I wouldn't be nichshol a week later. So all the svarim say, you're wrong. Because I bought this sefer. This is here. This is a very nice, it's called by Rav Shlomo Kluger. You heard of Rav Shlomo Kluger? He's a big guy. Don't hear of Rav Shlomo Kluger? Okay. Big guy. Anyway, it was around the early 1800s, I believe. So he has a Beresh and Pirkei Avos. He quotes the Chazal. Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Le'olam Haba. Okay, it says, well, it's apikarsim and whatever, but a regular Yisrael. What about all the people that do aveiros? It says that apikarsim don't have, but a regular, he says, but there are a lot of Rishoyim in Klal Yisrael. So what about, how can you say, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Le'olam Haba? What about the Rishoyim? So he says, because there's a Gemara that says that even the worst Rasha, he feels a little bit bad. He says, there's a Chazal that say that the Rasha has a Shoachas, Shuvah. He says, Shoachas doesn't have to, can just mean the slightest amount of time, a split second, a fleeting thought. I shouldn't have done that. He says, that is makes you already into Shuvah. Therefore, now, it doesn't say you're going to go there, you'll be the biggest Gan Eden, but that's already, every Rasha, he says, is guaranteed, the guy's Mechalel Shabbos his whole life, right? There are Mechalel Shabbos. The guy's eating non-kosher food his whole life, right? Those are not a part of the chutz, right? He says, you guaranteed that there's a second, somewhere he wakes up, he says, you know, I really shouldn't be Mechalel Shabbos. But no, but what can I do? That's my parnasa. Okay. But there's a second. It says a second that he has that charata. He said that already is enough tshuva to move him that he can get Olam Haba. Take off. Which means that you don't need, now obviously it's not full tshuva. It means that the basic insight is that there are millions and millions of levels of tshuva. Just because we don't do tshuva shalema does not mean that our tshuva is zero, right? It's not all or nothing. There are certain mitzvahs that are all or nothing, but their tshuva is not like that. The Ma'bit says that even if a guy says, you know, I really should stop, but I have no intention of stopping, and I'm not stopping, and he never even thought to stop, it's also partial tshuva, because he's partial. You did charata without kavanah. That's also partial. He says that tshuva is the partial credit for everything. If you have partial charata, you get credit. If you have partial aziva sachet, you get credit. If you have partial, you know, whatever degree you have, there's some credit. In this case of the Rav Shlomo Kluger, the guy has like the most partial in the world. It's like a split second. You know, it doesn't even last. And it's a fleeting thought. That already worked. Now, it doesn't work fully. Otherwise, you know, I'll put Yom Kippur out of business. Oh, great. Everybody does tshuva. But it works enough to move you out of the realm that you lose Olam Haba, even if the guy's the biggest Russian. So that means that even, you know, my last thing was that the Averis aren't as chomer as we think because they have a hard Nisayan. But even besides that, tshuva knocks off a certain amount. There's a Rav Tzadik Cohen that says a little different part, but it's the same result, but a different logic. He says, since most people, when they do an aveira, very often they feel bad, so the feeling bad is they already got their punishment for the aveira. So they don't need another punishment, because the feeling bad is a punishment. They were yaitzi, they're yisurim with the feeling bad. Okay, it's a little different way of saying it. But I don't know if you yotzi all your punishment, but you yotzi a lot of your punishment. Because in the way aveiros work, is a little tsar in this world goes a long way to be mechaper. You know, that's why we always say that it's better to get your punishment in this world than the next world. So if you feel bad, even though it's only a little feeling bad, that does a great deal of removing your punishment. Okay, anyway, but a ma'isa, so that's four, right? I think so. And number five is the Rav Chaim V'lazhen. What's Rav Chaim V'lazhen? We learned last year, Bava Metzia, a guy steals. Right? What's he supposed to do? To do true in order to get forgiven?
Return it.
Why was return? If I'm a Chal of Shabbos, I turn on the light. You don't turn off the light. Right? So why was it there? Teretz is certain averis you can undo. When you turn on the light, the avera is not the fact the light's on. No one cares that the light's on. Because if you left the light on before Shabbos, it's fine. The avera is that you did a maisa of turning on the light switch, did a malacha. Turning off the light switch is not undoing the fact that you did a malacha. But certain averas are not the maisa, but it's the result. And if the avera is the result, then you undo the result, you undo the avera. Now, I don't know if that means that you totally undone the avera. I don't know. But to a certain extent. So the avera is that I stole from you. So if I give you, pay you back. So I undid the harm. If I spoke Lashon Hara, so I go back to the people and say, you know what I said yesterday? I made a mistake. Really, he is a tzaddik. I had the wrong guy. So you undo the Lashon Hara. That's mechaper on the Lashon Hara to a large extent. So Rav Chaim V'lazhen says that there's a, in this particular Avera of Hirurim, Zeret of Hatava, etc., there's a way of undoing the Avera. How do you undo the Avera? He says by learning Torah. Because, first of all, Hirurim for sure. Hirurim's in the brain. And Torah is in the brain. That makes us easy. It's thinking not such Tameh-Dikah things and thinking Kaddish-Dikah things. But he says, besides which, somehow, I don't know, even, he says, Torah creates Kedusha, and somehow or another, it's the opposite of the, even, he's talking about, even about Zarat of Atzalah. He says, Beferish. So Torah is the antithesis of these Averis.
That's logical, or that's...
He quotes Chazal. I don't know. He says, he brings it from a Chazal. It's not logical necessarily to me. Why Mehechetesi, that Torah is the antithesis of this Avera. I can't. It could be. I can hear it. I definitely hear by Yehurim, but I don't hear it necessarily by other parts. But he says it. He says that he brings it from a Chazal, that Torah is, even from a Zohar, I think. I believe he quoted from a Zohar. From the Zohar, that the Torah is the opposite of these all these Averas. So therefore, it comes out that if you learn Torah, you're undoing the Avera. Now, again, doesn't mean that you're totally off the hook. Even if you steal and you return, you still have to do tshuva. But you definitely, to a large extent, you mitigated the chomer of the Avera. Okay? So I got five reasons. So everybody should be happy, some reason. Right? One was because even if you have a big Avera, you got so many more mitzvahs, even quantity-wise. And the schar of a mitzvah, even one, even if you just had one Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, you're ahead of the game. Shouldn't be depressed. So surely you got hundreds and hundreds of Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, and other mitzvahs. Then we said also, wait, I should have made it. Then we said the stipler, that you have all the mitzvahs of when you're not Nechshol, which is the mitzvah of Yosef HaTzadik. Then we said that the Avera is very much reduced because of the Chomer and the Sayin and the fact that I don't want to do the Avera. I should have quoted, there's a Gemara in Ksuvis. I don't know if you know the Gemara in Ksuvis. The Gemara in Ksuvis says, I'm over time. The Gemara in Ksuvis says that if a woman is Mizana Beratz and Tachas her husband, so she's also to her husband. Right? If, on the other hand, she's Nensa, she's not Usser. Right? So the Gemara has a case, what if a woman is Nensa? But in the middle of after she's done, so someone comes to save her. And she says, no, don't stop it. I'm enjoying this. So what happens? Is she usher to her husband or not? No. That's the Gemara Shaila. So Parshat Shat, now she's Beratzin. So she should be usher to her husband. So there's Avuah de Shmuel, who says she's not usher to her husband. Because even though she's saying, now I'm enjoying it, and I want it, but it's oynes because it's not her fault. It's Yitzrei Ansei. Sometimes it's not that I really want it. My Yetzirah made me. So that's what we're saying here, that very often, even when we do it, we don't do it because we want to do it. We're doing it because the Yetzirah is forcing me. That's a good one. So, and the raya we said is that if an hour later, if you would come and offer me a pill to stop for the future, I would take it. So the Rishiva, that's a whole different ballpark, a whole different aveira. That was four, I think. Am I up to four? Right? I think so. Or that three?
That's three.
Four was tshuva. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Four was tshuva. That, you know, that tshuva is not that we shouldn't aim for total tshuva. We should. Because as obviously, if the better tshuva is better, but we should hear that whatever tshuva we do is also tshuva. So we might knock off 50% of the aveira, 60% of the aveira. That's pretty good. If we knock off 50% of all our aveiras, you know, you don't have to be so depressed if you got off 50% of your aveiras. Maybe you got off only maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. Now you, 50% is that. I want to go for 60. I want to go for 70. I want to go for 80. But at least getting down, you should hear that that everybody can map. That's what the Shlomo Kluger says. Everybody has a certain extent of tshuva. I heard this from Rav Zuckerman. He said that a person is guaranteed that a person will do tshuva, and it cannot. He says, and worse comes to worse, the tshuva will take place after he gets married. So it's okay. So at least, now it's not the best, doesn't mean, but it is. But it's a certain relaxation. That's okay. It's a tshuva. Okay. And the last svara is that we learn Torah, and Torah is the heshev hagzeila. Okay. You look like you're not happy. No, Zana looks like he's about to burst. He says, I ruined it. What kind of, I'm supposed to come to Rosh Hashanah and feel bad, and now I ruined it, right? Everyone going to say the same thing that I said to Rosh Hashiva.
It's supposed to feel like you're in the balance, right? Rebbe's just saying like that we're already.
I don't know if you're supposed to feel you're in the balance. Where did you pick that up from?
I heard that you're supposed to feel like anything can swear.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. It does say that. But I don't know. It's a very shver chazal. In other words, the chazal says that you're supposed to feel that you're in a perfect balance. It also says you're supposed to feel that the whole world's in a balance. Now, the odds that the whole world's in a balance and your one mitzvah is going to sway it are very slight. So I don't know if it means really that you're supposed to feel that that's definitely the way it is. You're supposed to feel that it's possible. There's a possibility. It's possible. Well, there's a possibility. There's a possibility that this one mitzvah will make the difference, will sway it. But I don't think it means that you're supposed to feel for sure. Because it's almost impossible. I'm going to feel for sure. I come into Rosh Hashanah, I feel for sure I'm in a balance. So what do? I do a mitzvah. Okay, now what? Oh, I'm for sure in a balance. Well, what happened 5 minutes ago? I was in a balance, and I did a mitzvah. So what happened?
No one would ever ask on that small possibility.
What?
I don't think it's saying, like, you're not supposed to think you're a
tzaddik
or you're a
Russia. You're just... Oh, yeah, no, that I agree. We're not tzaddik and Russia. We're Beinonim. But if you say Beinonim is a big, giant...
Range,
then fine. But that's not what the Chazal say that you do one mitzvah, you tilt the scales. So that's the rain out of, you know, that's a little different. Anyway, yeah, there's a rain. I don't think you're a tzaddik. I'm sorry. I didn't come to say you're a tzaddik. Even though you learn, because your learning is not such a great learning, and your davening is not such a great davening. And, you know, I don't think you're a tzaddik, and I don't think I'm a tzaddik. So, okay, but we're hopefully in the Beinoni range. But just because we can be in the Beinoni range, hopefully in the to the more to the right than to the left. You know, there's a group. There's a group called Dananim. Now there's a group called Tzadikim, and there's a group called Rishon. So probably what they say is that most people we assume are in the Dananim range, because if you're a Tzadikim, it happens to me you don't even need Yom Kippur. If it's Tzadikim, get the Chasima and Rosh Hashanah. So most of us get all excited about Yom Kippur because we assume we're not Tzadikim. Because to be a Tzadik is a very high madrega. So, you know, most people are not Tzadikim. But the Benini range of people who they get the Ksiva and Rosh Hashanah and the Chasima and Yom Kippur is a quite large range, Pashtas. So we can be there.
Isn't the Gemara saying that that's how you should feel? Because if you feel like you're a Rosh, you're going to give up. Feel like Tzadik, I don't have to do anything.
Right. That's what I said. There's a Gemara that says that you should tell that there's a possibility that one mitzvah could make the difference. So that, but it doesn't mean that you should say for sure, because it would almost be impossible. How can you tell yourself for sure and then 5 minutes later, after I did that one mitzvah, now what I do? So I don't know.
Drop two mitzvahs.
Okay. Anyone else, or can I go home?
What is the goal of Rosh Hashanah?
The goal of Rosh Hashanah is to do better tshuva. Let's say you got tshuva and you got off already 60%, but you still have 40% still there, so it's nice to get 40% off. Let's say you got off 80%. You want to get the last 20% off. The Shari Tshuva says in a mashal that it's a stain on a garment. He says getting off the big stain is almost the easiest part. It's easy. You got a stain. You got the grub is stain. It can wipe off. But what's hard to get out is what sinks into the material. That's a much less stain, but that's harder. That you have to work much harder to get out. So the assumption could be that the stain, the blob of dirt that's on your jacket. So I brushed it off and I got rid of it. The mud, right? There's a mud got on my jacket. I went in the mud, so I got rid of the mud. But it left a mark on my jacket. Now, it doesn't look as ugly as mud. Not the same. Just a black mud, brown mark. But now, to scrub out the stain takes much harder work. So even if hopefully, we can feel that we probably did a tshuva to get the glob of mud off, but that stain might still be there. There's still what to do. We want to get that off also. I did not say that you were saying, I'm not even trying to say that we did tshuva and he only says that it takes you off, that you don't lose your item haba. Right? That was what he said, you know, for that fleeting, you're not in the realm of a, you know, okay, that's also good. Okay. Anyway,
how does praying on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur help take off that stain?
Because there's a line. So, tshuva, tefila, staka, I forgot how it goes. It says that tshuva, tefila, and staka. So that's what they do. Now, you wonder, how does it work? I don't know. But that's what it says. It says that. Doesn't it say that?
I mean, is there no chashash that all these svaras might make it easier for someone to be nechshol?
Yeah, it is.
So
that's why I got very upset when the Rashiva did that. But I'm taking the comma. But because, that's right. You know, that I was very upset when the Rashiva did this, and he said that don't get. I was so angry. But I hear the Rashiva svara because guys get. This is such a dangerous thing. I think the Rashiva really held. I really think he held that this is the biggest problem. And the biggest problem is that guys are not happy. If they're not happy, they can't think straight, they can't learn well, they can't stay up, they're not motivated to work and share. They're just dragging their feet. And that's why they drop out and they don't work hard and they don't push as hard as they can. And then they quit because you see it's not going. And so it's not like a minor little thing. This is the biggest problem. You gotta relate to it. Sometimes a medicine has a negative side effect. Okay?
So Rebbe's saying that it's more dangerous for somebody to be depressed and potentially more.
Yeah, that's what examined the foot from the Rosh Hashiva. That the Rosh Hashiva was saying that they gave it. It was I think it was Mash every Rosh Hashanah. They should have gave the shmooze. I'm telling you, I was like, you know, it was like okay. I don't know why I thought it was gonna be. I know maybe they told it was gonna be shmooze on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. I can't remember going to shmooze. Okay, shmooze Rosh Hashiva on Rosh Hashanah. He gave the shmooze about. Okay, relax. It was such a. I wouldn't do that.
But is there also a svara that it'll probably help people like do less of eros because people when they feel less bad about it psychologically.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And it might even help you do more tshuva because you're like you're closer. You're ready.
We're already so crumb. The smallest chait that with all the svaras to make it the chait the smallest possible. If we were makir, what it was, we would be paralyzed and have a heart attack. We're so crumb as it is. So it's very nice psychologically, but like we should talk to ourselves that this is it's crumb kite to say that I shouldn't be so concerned.
Well, no, I don't think you should be concerned. But if you have a person will be ready. Let's say you got. It's just like you're saying we don't hear what the smallest chayit is. We also don't hear what the smallest mitzvah is.
No, that I understand.
There's a certain so you could be happy.
But half
you can be happy with the fact that I got a small chayit and I got a tremendous mitzvah. So I should be happy. That's my first svara.
No, those svaras I understand. We should be but as far as should we talk to ourselves about saying I shouldn't be so worried because I felt really bad and
I shouldn't.
It's not true.
Listen, you speak Lashon Hara. I didn't tell you don't do, but most guys, for whatever reason, don't go mishugana when they speak Lashon Hara. Okay, I slipped. Now, of course you're supposed to do tshuva. You're not supposed to slip, right? But, so we have to move it to a point where, of course you want to be better, but you're not going depressed about it. You're not getting, you know, there's a point there, you know. You should be more. I don't want to belittle Lashon Hara. You should be really upset with yourself that you spoke Lashon Hara, but at the same time, usually it doesn't hurt your learning. You know, you spoke Lashon Hara 10 minutes later, you can sit down and learn. It doesn't. You but for some reason, these averes, the guy feels schmutzig. He feels dirty. He feels so. You should hear that this probably for me this aver is no worse. Then the other areas that I do, which I live with, and maybe they're even more mako. Lashon Hara, I have less an excuse because I shouldn't have slipped up. And you know, you don't feel filthy because you spoke Lashon Hara. You said a lie. I lied by mistake. You know, okay, so I slipped. So obviously it's not right, and obviously you're supposed to do tshuva. I'm not advocating don't do tshuva. But you don't feel like you're the biggest rush in the world. You don't think you want to drop out of yeshiva, that I'm a hypocrite, because I'm a phony, because here I'm learning all day, and then I slipped and I said Lashon Hara. It happens. A big tzaddik says Lashon Hara. It happens. So you have to have that same attitude, that I'm not a phony and a hypocrite if I'm nichshon on these averes. It happens. But of course you have to do tshuva, but you got to take away the sharpness.
Oh, right. We need to do that. But the way to do that, but when the way we're doing that is by saying that the chait isn't so serious.
I'm
the
saying is that because 50%, 75% of the chait was mechaper, because when the Zohar talks about the tremendous chomer of the aveira, he's not talking about this aveira.
Fine, but the 25% that's still there, if we knew what it was.
Okay, but that would be the same thing with Lashon Hara too.
Right, so we're crumb. That
okay,
crumb.
Okay, so let's be crumb here too. All right.
Let's say someone is not affected by like his learning in terms of like the stress and all and everything. So should he take a different approach? Like, should he like
get really depressed?
No. Let's say he doesn't. Meaning, like, he's totally fine learning with all the.
I don't know. I think the Rashida felt that it's like almost a sick ratio. The guy really down. Like the guy said, when a person feels you're a Russia, when you feel you're a Russia, you act like a Russia. When you feel you're a bum, you act like a bum. There's success breeds success, and failure breeds failures. When a person feels I'm no good, so he acts no good. It's very unhealthy. Besides that, it makes you down, and it takes away your energy. There's a lot of negatives.
Right,
so it's much healthier.
Rebbe was saying to stay calm because like it might like affect like the way you learn and this and that. But let's say it doesn't affect the guy. Like the guy's stronger.
But
so it'll still
affect your mental, your attitude of how you view yourself. It'll affect whether you think you have a future in yeshiva. Do I think I'll ever become a tzaddik? Do I think I'll ever make it? Do I feel like a hypocrite? Do I feel like a phony? It affects a lot of different ways.
So how is someone supposed to do tshuva?
I can still do tshuva. Why not? I want to be better.
You want to be better, but how do you balance the feeling of not being depressed?
I'm not depressed. I want to be better. I spoke Lashon Hara. I had on Hala meaning, and we spoke about you in the Shana. there was a mistake. I want to be better. Right? But I don't get, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to be better. You have to strive to be better. You know how many brachas I made, and I didn't have kavanah when I made the bracha, right? That's a much better example. You make a bracha, and a minute after I said the bracha, I'm not even sure if I said the bracha. Because I don't even remember what I said. And half the time I say the bracha twice, because I didn't even know, right? You know, because I'm not even sure. I come to yeshiva, did I say birchas hashachar this morning? I don't know. I'm saying birchas hashachar. Where am I up to? You know, I have to say Kaddish. And so sometimes in the middle of Birchas HaShachar. Well, where was I up to? I don't know. Right? Right? You know, so you know, that's not right. You say brachas, you don't know what you're saying. You say a bracha, you repeat a bracha twice, you skip one, it was Rosh Chodesh. When was Rosh Chodesh? Not so long ago. Right? You're supposed to say Yad HaViyavo. How many people forgot here Yad HaViyavo? All right? Now, before Shmona Esrei, I tell myself, Yad HaViyavo, the guy gave a bang. Yad HaViyavo, right? So what happened? I don't know, because by the time I got to Yad HaViyavo, I was somewhere else. And how many people, the second time they say Shmona Esrei, they forget Yad HaViyavo, right? So that's not right. But we're ready to live with it. Why is it different?
Rebbe said that this avera, a person feels disgusted after it. Whenever someone does
I'm
this
trying
avera,
to say that you shouldn't feel so disgusted. It's okay. It's an avera that you're a normal human being, and this is how normal human beings behave. Normal, you're a boy. And a boy who's this age, that's what they behave. And okay, and you're trying to be better.
Does that mean like that, in a certain sense, like belittling, I'm saying that we're saying the various...
No, I'm not saying that they're not big. I'm saying that don't get so...
If I care.
So I used to work on the show.
Because you want to be better.
But then you're going to get depressed.
I won't be depressed. I won't get depressed. I want to be better. I want to be... Now I'm only a Beinoni. Now I'm only on the 80th percentile. And I want to go up to the 90th percentile. Okay. I'm 80 percentile. I'm in 75 percentile. I don't know. I'm somewhere in that area. 80, 85, 90. I don't know exactly. But I want to go higher. That's not going to be... That's very nice.
To get higher, what if a person says I might get depressed?
You won't get depressed because I'm not ready. You're the mice. I'm at 80. 80 is passable. It's not something to get depressed about. It's just I want to get better. Okay. Shigayach. Before I get in. In 50 years from now, you can go and give a Musar Vat and say, I gave the yeshiva and I...